Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my pleasure to worship with you this morning. Some time ago, I saw a series of videos online showing some toddlers have their first ice cream. Do you see that before? Some not, some. The toddlers were a bit confused. You can imagine that if a toddler's first time to eat the ice cream. They were a bit confused at first. And then, what will be the reaction? They seem to be a little bit shocked because of the temperature, because it's frozen. But then they fell in love immediately because it is sweet, right? So you can see on their faces the expression of surprising, joyful, and touching. So you could understand why people like to view it again and again, and there are a bunch of them online. So I think that's a very great demonstration of first love. They fell in love with the ice cream. Do you love ice cream? Yeah. Do you remember the first time you taste it? Probably not, right? But could you think of any moment of first love that you can remember in your life? Maybe it's a food, it's a place. Like, you know, many Hong Kong people, they like a country. Which country?
Japan.
Yeah, Japan. They say it's their second home country. They fell in love with Japan because of the scenery, of the food. Maybe it's an activity. The first time you play it, you do it, you fall in love with it. Maybe it's a person. Could you recall the feelings? Are they still the same today? Or have they been changed? In today's passage, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, a kind of first love is mentioned. The book of Revelation is the last book of the scripture. Do any one of you read it through? Yeah, some? Some believers told me that when they converted to Christ, the first book they read was Revelation. Really? Yeah, why? It's like a prophecy, you know? There are some very popular prophecy this year in July. You remember what? About Japan, our second home country. What's that? It's about the earthquake, right? So people like prophecies. They look into Revelation and they think they may have a glimpse of what will happen in the future. But that's what the objective of the Revelation, at least not the only one. Its genres include apocalypse, letters, and prophecy. There are many symbols, visions, and prophecy, so it's not a book easy to read, easy to understand. Some people read it because they want to know what will happen in the future, or even at the end of the world. However, like the other prophecies in the scripture, do you know the purpose of prophecy in the scriptures? It's not only telling you what will happen in the future, but more importantly, it helps us and reminds us God's decree and standard so that we could live a godly life today. The author of Revelation is, do you know who is that? The author of the Revelation. John is the Apostle John. He wrote it when the churches underwent severe persecution from the authorities, and he himself was exiled to the island called Patmos. From a human perspective, the hope was faint. But Jesus Christ appeared to John at that very moment and revealed to him the hopeful message concerning all nations and all people. Chapters 2 to 3 of Revelation contains the seven letters to seven churches existed at that time. However, these letters are not only written for those churches, but to all churches of Jesus Christ from generation to generation, so including us. They all have a similar format. They start with Christ's self-description, followed by praise or reproach for the church, then possible judgmental action and promise of rewards for the one who conquers, and end with exhortation to hear. So let's look at the letter of Ephesus in chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Verse 1, let's read together. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the following. This is the solemn pronouncement of the one who has a firm grasp on the seven stars in his right hand, the one who was among the seven golden lampstands. Here, Jesus Christ described himself as the one who has a firm grasp on the seven stars in his right hand. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, if you have your Bible, you can look at the verse. Jesus has already told John that the seven stars represented the seven messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands represented the seven churches. In some translation, the word is hosts, but in the NET Bible, it used firm grasp to express the firmness of the grasp. It means holding something important with care. Maybe like when you hold your phone. How do you hold your phone? Do you hold it just casually? No, you hold it firmly because you are afraid that it would drop. Or when you go to a country that's not so secure, you hold it even tighter. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He always looks after and watch over his church. He will protect, teach, and discipline. He's the one who was among the churches from generations to generations. Today, he still was among churches all over the world, and he cares about us. What makes you think and feel when you try to picture Jesus walks among us even today at this very moment? And as for the Ephesus church, what are Jesus' comments on them? In verses 2 to 6, there are a few praises and one reproach. Let's read together again. I know your works, as well as your labor and steadfast endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. You have even put to the test those who refer to themselves as apostles, but are not, and have discovered that they are false. I am also aware that you have persisted steadfastly, endured much for the sake of my name, and have not grown weary. At first, it's about what they did. Their neighbor and endure was mentioned twice. Also, they have not grown weary. If these are descriptions for a person's working performance at the appraisal, so I think many of us has been through an appraisal, right, at your work. So if this is a work appraisal, do you think it's good or bad? Yeah, it's quite good. Maybe it's just a manager. It's quite good indeed. A hardworking neighbor. Hardworking. Apart from their hard work, they also had another good thing. They tested the false apostles, which means they had resisted the false teachings. In other books of the New Testament, we know that there are many false teachers and teachings in many churches. In Acts chapter 20, when Apostle Paul said farewell to the elders of the Ephesus church, he warned them against the false teachers. So the Ephesians did listen. They resisted the false teachings and kept the truth and the right doctrine. So let's see, up till this point, how do you think about the Ephesus church? Very good, right? From nowadays standard, it's quite good. Hardworking, loyal, and keeping the right doctrine. However, there is one reproach in verse 4. Let's read together. But I have this against you. You have departed from your first love. There was one thing that Jesus Christ has against the Ephesus church, that they have departed from their first love. What does that mean? Do you ever wonder? What does that mean? First love is a kind of love that holds a special place in people's hearts. And this is a popular subject in many literatures, dramas, and movies. It's because the first love is unique and precious. It's the experience we had when we met the love of our life, that we wish we could have met them even earlier, and we hope we could stay together as long as possible. This kind of love is passionate and touching. It's not tasteless. It's not boring. Can you try something? Hold your left hand with your right hand. Can you try it now? Do you have any feeling? Of course no, right? So it's the opposite of first love. Why are you laughing? Are you thinking of the feeling that you are holding your spouse's hands? I hope not. When we hold something we are dear to our hearts, even today, your heart pounds, is touching. So that's the first love. Here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the first love Jesus Christ mentioned is the love between God and his children, between God and us. Do you perceive your relationship with God in this way? Well, that's how God perceives it. The Christian faith is never only a religion or a set of doctrine. The core and foundation of the Christian faith is God's love to human. John chapter 3:16. Let's read together. For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Also, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. By this, the love of God is revealed in us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world, so that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The core and foundation of the Christian love is God's love to human. Because of his love to us, God sent his only Son to the world. Because of his love to us, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and paid the price of sin for us, so that we could be reconciled with God. When we encounter God and decided to return to him and believe in him, we establish a love relationship with God. Dear brothers and sisters, do you still recall the day when you met God? Do you experience his love? God loves us and expects us to return him with love. Do you think you love God? The Ephesus church loved God at the beginning. However, they then lost their love gradually throughout the time. Probably when they themselves were not even aware of. The original word in Greek for departed also has the meaning of abandon and could also be used in the case of divorce. It's a word with strong sentiment. In the scripture, there are also places when the marriage metaphor was used in describing the love between God and his people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. Go, let's read together. Go and declare in the hearing of the people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I have fond memories of you. How devoted you were to me in your early years. I remember how you loved me like a new bride. You followed me through the wilderness, through a land that had never been planted. So when you think of the Israelite history in the Old Testament, what do you remember? Usually when we mention the Israelites, we said they are... What are the descriptions we usually use when we talk about Israelites in Old Testament? Rebellious, right? We said, oh, they are bad people. God was so good to them. How come they just betray God again and again? But then let's ask us, you really think we are much better than them in our path of following Jesus? Didn't we also go back and forth? But you see in this verse, how God remembered the Israelites. God remembered the first love of Israel to him. How they followed him at the beginning. At the beginning. But the history tells us that the Israelites forgot God's grace from time to time and abandoned their covenant with God. But as God to the Israel, God never forgets us. Sometimes when people are in their difficult times, some believers said, oh, God forgets me, forsake me. No, God never forgets us. God never forsakes us. But we do forget God. We forsake God. The New Testament also used marriage metaphor for the relationship between Christ and church. Paul compared the relationship between husband and wife. With that of Christ and church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Let's read together. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's what Paul wrote to the Ephesus church. So Christ doesn't see the church as merely an organization of doings. I wonder how you see the church today. Do you see it as an organization of doing something, of actions? Maybe it is, but it should not be merely so. It's a being with relationship of love. It's like an organism. He loves everyone. God loves everyone that the church is made of. He loves each one of us. He demands a response of love from us. Although love brings about corresponding actions, actions themselves do not denote love. Do you agree? If we love someone, we'll do something for him or her. But if I do something for someone, it doesn't mean that I love him or her. The letter to the Ephesians tells us that a church could still have actions but lost its love. It's like the how do we picture this in today's world? Can you understand how can one be in a relationship but without love? Can you think of something that you experience or that you see? It's like a family, right? Sometimes a family, some couples told me they communicate with each other only for tasks. There are so many tasks in the household, you know? So many arrangements to make. They have no time to communicate other things, to ask, how's your day today? How do you feel today? What do you like? Maybe if you ask, the response is, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Why do you ask this? Maybe it's because we have developed a not very healthy communication habits. But it's not what it ought to be. Verses 5 to 6, let's read together. Therefore, remember from what high state you have fallen and repent. Do the deeds you did at the first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That is, if you do not repent. But you do have this going for you. You hate what the Nicolaitans practice. Practices I also hate. In verse 6, Jesus Christ confirmed yet another merit of the Ephesus church, that they hated what the Nicolaitans practices that God also hates. There are not many records about the Nicolaitans. One is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, the first letter to Pergamum. In those verses, John related the teaching of Nicolaitans to Balaam. So we know it probably means it's related to idolatry, both in spiritual and physical. So when Jesus Christ affirmed the Ephesus church for not accepting the teaching of Nicolaitans, this shows that the Ephesus church was still loyal to God spiritually, and they had kept the spiritual and physical cleanliness in God. Now we could look at the big picture of status of the Ephesus church. They are hardworking in action, keeping the correct doctrine, and are loyal spiritually. Yet they had departed from their first love to God. So what does it really mean? Can a church still serves God but lost his love? Can we serve God but lost our love? I think many of us is serving God or has served God in some ways. So when you serve, do you serve out of love? Or have you experienced the difference of serving with love or without love? Do you have honeymoon in your faith? I used to hear it a lot, but recently, I don't know why, it seems becoming more just rare and rare. So do you have honeymoon? What is honeymoon with God? So during the time you think God hear your prayers so immediately and then so fast, and then you serve with a very warm heart, passionate passions, but then after days after days, week after weeks, months after months, or even years after years, you are on the same position, the serving position, or the same ministry. But then, do you still keep the passion? Or you think, oh, okay, that's what I do. I know how to do. I just do it. No feeling. And no reliance on God at all. Because I can use my experience. I use my knowledge. I use my ability. Maybe if you are in this status, you are a bit like the Ephesus church. Have actions, but without love. Just like in a marriage, in a relation. We saw the verse in Ephesus. It says, "Husbands, love your wives." In the Bible, it has clear teachings on how husbands and wife should be with each other, but usually we don't listen. So not much unlike the Israelites. Sometimes, you know, in a marriage, usually who is the one serve more? Husband or wife? I only hear female voices. usually, maybe it's so miscellaneous work. But they are something you need to do. You know. Last night, my husband showed me a news. It's about. I think it's in UK. A mom. She used AI. You know, we are using AI today. She used AI to create a surrogate mom, a third party to help her to take care of her children. So how does it go? She said she asked the AI some advice for taking care of the children. And ask the AI, use the AI to arrange some, for example, what should be about the meal. You need time to think about what do you cook, what do you have for three meals a day. You know, it takes time. Sisters know, maybe husband knows too. I hope so. So. Such tedious but essential words that mom assigned to the AI, and she felt much relaxed. She said, "Oh, that's that feels good." But then when she posted her experience online, some people say, "Oh, that's a very good idea." That some people say it's not good. We should not assign our task with children to AI, you know. But then my husband and I, we have some discussion, and I said, I can understand why that mom does so, because some husbands, not all, usually they don't care about anything about in the households, you know. So they just in that news, the husband, he helps, but how the way he helps is, you tell me what to do. The husband will say, I will tell the wife, you tell me what to do, what to buy, and I will do it. I just do the task. I will not think about the before or the after or other things, okay? But that's what the wife needs a co-worker with, a teammate with. So we have that discussion. So sometimes the husband, I do some counselings as well. Sometimes the husband will say, I love my wife, of course, according to the Bible, because the Bible said the husband need to lose their life for their wife, right? Yeah, but then I don't have the chance, you know. I don't have the chance. If I have the chance, I will do this. So, this, you may not have that chance throughout your life, right? So how can you just practice this order from God? In your daily lives, in your every moment with her, you don't just lose your life at some accident when you are just right there, right? Maybe you really will in a car crash, maybe you will push her away, but you may not have the chance. Show your love in daily life. Us as well, to God, we may not have the chance to show that we can lose our life to God. Most of us do not need to do that. Because we need to use our daily life to dedicate to God, to devote to God. Don't say that I can do it at the critical moment. I can say to you, if you do not do it in daily life, you will probably not do it in critical moment. Because that is who you are. That is why who we are. So God has the similar demands to the church and Christians. A church is godly not only because what she does, but whether she has love and passion towards God. So if we find ourselves lack of love and passion to God, what could we do? Jesus Christ has provided with the solution. Verse 5, it says, remember and repent. That's the key. We need to remember and we need to repent. There's consequence for not doing so. Remove your lampstand from its place. The church would lose the power from God and not be able to be Christ's witness to the world. The effects of doing God's work, preaching and the gospel and building up lives never depend on how hardworking we are. Or at least not only depend on how hardworking we are, but how close our relationships is with God. That's the most essential. It's about our quality of faith, not quantity of words. Sometimes we find that the same way doesn't work as well as in the past anymore in ministry. Sometimes it's God's reminder for us to modify our strategy and ways of doing things. But sometimes it's God's reminder for us to look into our heart and see if the first love is still there. God calls us to be His loving children, not only hardworking neighbors. Let's read together. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will permit him to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. All the seven letters in the book of Revelation has this statement at the end. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It clearly states that the messages of the seven letters are for all churches and all people and to every one of us today as well. The one who conquers is a group of people frequently appear in the book of Revelation. It doesn't only mean congregation of Ephesus Church, but all who are willing to follow God and keep God's words. Here the rewards for the one who conquers was permitted to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Do you remember where is the tree of life? Where is its first appearance in the Bible? Genesis. God placed human in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life was also there. The fruit of it healed all kinds of illness, and people who eat them could live forever. The tree of life represents the first love. So you see how this letter comes together. The tree of life represents the first love, care, and blessings of God. Here it echoes the call of love from God to human at the very beginning. So God has kept His first love to us until the end of the world. Did we? How could we respond to such love? Jesus Christ has given the answers for how could we keep or restore our first love to God. The three R. The first one, remember. We need to recall our path of faith, how we experience God's grace and love. I hope you could find a quiet space and place someday this week. Spend sufficient time, a long time with God. Remember your path of faith and write it down. It's even better if you could share your memories and joy with others in your fellowship, in your small groups. It will also become a testimony and blessings to the others. Secondly, don't just stay and stop there, but to repent and return to God. Do what you did at the beginning. Is there something you did out of your love to Christ in the past at first, but you stopped doing it at some point. Maybe it's your appetite to God's words. Maybe it's your passion to serve God. If you found yourself lost that passion and love, repent and return to God. Ask for His strength. Pray that He enable you to do what you did before, if you know that's what God wants you to do. Or do something new, if that's what God guide you to. By recalling the memories, repent and return to God, we could rekindle our love to God. Each time when we sense a drop in our love, we do this again to keep our flame in our love. Let's pray. Please spend this 1 minute to think about what you heard today. Think about your path of faith. Tell God what you feel, what you think, and ask Him for strength. Dear Jesus Christ, thanks for reminding us to remember, repent and return to You, and rekindle our love for You. Please grant us the strength to love, to serve, and to build Your church, and let us live in Your grace and love every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.